The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
Let me welcome you to this course on the Holy Spirit. And before we pray, let me go over the material which you will find in the handout, which should have three pages printed on both sides. It involves you being present at three seminars on three distinct and exceedingly important books, not only for this course, but for the entire history of Christian theology and for your Christian life. And I will pass out a list of options for you, but you should choose one of those dates, 19th or 24th February, for the seminar on Dr. Gaffin's book, Resurrection and Redemption. We will not meet by law on the day of prayer, the 26th of February, which is a Thursday. The 24th and 26th of March are seminar dates, as are the 2nd and the 14th of April. Then, with respect to the four, five elements in the course, an outline or syllabus of the lectures you should find appended to this page. Please notice the readings, some of which are part of the required readings. If they are suggested, you will notice that there are one or two other suggested readings that you might care to do. In connection with the readings, please note, just as a part of wisdom, that Murray's Redemption Accomplished and Applied and the material in collected writings, or at least some of the material in collected writings, are two forms of the same brain. There are some subtle differences between these two forms, but essentially Redemption Accomplished and Applied, the applied section, is his popularized version of the material you will find in Collected Writings, Volume 2. You may therefore care to read Collected Writings, Volume 2, first of all, since they are the unpopular version of the popular version in Redemption Applied. And if you're puzzled, since some of you will have worked through Redemption Accomplished or will be working through it this semester, puzzled why the first part seems a little weightier than the second part, the reason is the second part was, I think, originally a series of magazine articles. The first part was written specially for the book. Then I'm asking you to attend your choice of two dates for these three seminars. You should regard these three books, Resurrection and Redemption, that little section in Institutes, Book 3, which you may find in another forum published under the title Calvin's Golden Booklet of the Christian Life. It's basically the same material, and you can carry it around in that little pocketbook paperback version, or preferably in the McNeil Battles edition, well, even more preferably in the 1559 Latin edition. If you can rise to that, by all means do so. We may have one or two people in this class who were in the course on Calvin. Yes, we do. Who will act as special agents to encourage you not only to read chapters 6 to 10, but the entirety of Book 3 of the Institutes. Let me say to you, if you are a new student in the seminary, which some of you may be, and especially if you're a new student in the theological disciplines, and especially if you are new to Reformed theology and were taught, as I was taught as a 14-year-old or a 13-year-old, that Calvin was a black bear, impossible to understand, and vicious in his theology, you have one of the most pleasant surprises of your Christian life awaiting you in reading these chapters in Institute's Book 3. And I hope not only will they serve as a formative influence on your thinking about the Christian life and your living of the Christian life, but as a splendid introduction to a wonderful Christian, a great theologian, and an outstanding pastor. Let me encourage you to do that by saying what the brethren who were in the January class, I think, will have heard me say already, that one of the most moving experiences I've ever had in this institution was at the beginning of a graduate seminar presentation on this section of the Institutes, when the student began by expressing personally how much reading this had meant to him, because it enabled him to understand his grandfather, who had been martyred earlier on in the century. They now have some details of the students who sat at Calvin's table when they were students in Geneva, and reckon that somewhere in the region of 30 to 35% of them were martyred for the gospel in the 16th century. And there is no doubt that Calvin recognized this is what he was training students for the ministry for. Large numbers of them he was preparing for death. And that section of the Institutes breathes that air. The marvelous thing about the combination of resurrection and redemption with that section of Institutes Book 3, indeed the whole of Institutes Book 3, is the extraordinary way in which, although he didn't do this deliberately, I don't think, the extraordinary way in which Dr. Gaffin's exegetical work in resurrection and redemption lays such a marvelous biblical theological foundation for what Calvin saw theologically and biblically those centuries ago. And then I want you to get a taste of some Puritan understanding of the application of redemption. And therefore, this third seminar, and you have your choice of the 2nd or 14th of April, is on the little book by John Owen on the mortification of sin. In the Gould edition, it's in volume 6 of the Gould edition of Owen's works, and it's only about 90 pages long. So it's a short book. In many ways, it's an incomplete book. But I think if you are able to get a hold of the methodology that's involved in resurrection and redemption, the theology that's involved in Institutes 3, 6 to 10, and the applicatory theology that's present in Owen's work on the mortification of sin, and you're able to keep these three balls balancing in the air, you will have a very interesting grasp of the development of Reformed theology and some valuable equipment for ministry of every kind. If you stumble a little over Owen's book and find it in places heavy going, let me encourage you by saying that the material in the Mortification of Sin was originally preached in Oxford in the mid-17th century to teenagers. So you can compare yourself with a 17th century teenager. I will say no more. So, lectures, the readings, seminars, two exams. Notice a midterm, which will be held on the class hours of the 31st of March, which is a Tuesday, I think, Tuesday morning. And that will cover the first half of the course, or something approximating to it. And the second exam will be held during the exam period. I am prepared, being a merciful individual, to accept a substitute paper in lieu of the final exam. Those of you who are planning to graduate may especially wish to take that option. I encourage you not to, if you are at an earlier period in your theological education. And then the fifth element is a brief reflection paper on anything you can fit into this broad topic, there is one body and one spirit, implications of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit for the diversity of the church. I'm especially interested here that you should reflect on the ethnic and social diversity of the Christian church in light of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it may take any form. It may be your stellar sermon on that subject. It may be in the form of a lecture, pretty short lecture if it's 8 pages. Sunday school lesson outline can be biographical or autobiographical. This is a standard piece of this course, and the autobiographical segments have been quite illuminating to me. It may be a historical narrative, and it's due 10 o'clock on the last day of the teaching period in the semester. Notice the requirements in connection with the seminars. One, that you attend them. Two, that you have read the book before you attend them, that you make a summary of the contents of the book, and a one-page analysis of the thesis, and that you list points of illumination or difficulty and bring these to the seminars, which will be conducted by Adam Bryce, Steve Caselli, and Mike Kelly. All good men and true, and all outstanding graduates of this institution. Okay, any questions about the requirements? I will probably in the second hour pass round some fill-in sheets for these three book seminars. Everything clear? Okay. Well, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we bow down before you, glad that we are able to come into your presence and by your Spirit are emboldened in Jesus Christ to call you Abba, Father. We thank you that you have brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your own beloved Son, and that because we belong to him and are named with his name, you have given us through him his privilege of access into your presence. We come to you, Esther-like, in fear and trembling because of our unworthiness, because by your law we are condemned and needy, fragile and broken. And yet we praise you that in Jesus Christ you have stretched out to us the golden scepter of grace and welcome and admission to your heavenly presence. We thank you that even as we come in fear and trembling, hidden behind the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that we are able to take his hand and hear him say to you, here am I and the children you have given me. And we come to you, our Heavenly Father, only because he has pronounced us to be his brothers and sisters by grace, and because he has given us his Spirit of sonship, through whom we cry, Abba, Father. We are lost in wonder and love and praise for all you have done for us in and through him. We cannot take it in that you have given your only Son for us, incarnate, crucified, buried, raised, ascended, now glorified. We who are fathers, who would never spare our children for others, but in our jealous love possess them for ourselves and guard them. It is beyond our powers of comprehension that you, the Almighty Father, should become the Father of an infinite mercy and give your only Son for our salvation. And it is in light of this that we bow before you, humbled under your mighty hand and yet exalted above all we could ever ask or imagine, exalted into the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And here, as in your presence, we express our thanks to you for the gift of your Son. And to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, we express our thanks for the gift that you have signally given to us of your own Holy Spirit. And we pray that, as under the direction of your word, and together in the fellowship of the saints, we seek to understand his grace and ministry, the ways in which he takes what belongs to you and displays these things to us. We ask that throughout this semester and in this room and in our private study, in our mutual communion with one another, that we may be encouraged in that same Holy Spirit to live by his power for your glory. We pray for your hand to be upon us as this semester unfolds before us. We ask that you will sustain us intellectually, that you will guard us morally, that you will keep us spiritually, that you will help us physically, that you will be with us communally, that all we do and are may redound and resound to the glory of our dear Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come to you and we seek your fatherly presence and your fatherly aid and assistance in the perfect name which is precious to us and beloved by you, even our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it for his glory. Amen.